we're in different sort of conditions than we're usually used to. There's great pressure in this series. I think he got a bit frustrated. I mean, I don't think there was anything, you know, it wasn't vicious, it wasn't too malicious, I wouldn't have thought, but he got a bit frustrated. And he for a bloke who's hardly put a hair out of line for 3 years as the captain of Australia, he, you know, he got a little bit frustrated for, what was it, 2 minutes? So, you know, the bloke's human, give him a break.
Defiant defence from Justin Langer, the coach of the Australian team yesterday. That was on this very station, not long after you and I finished up yesterday, Dal. Yes. I was driving home, and it's great to have coaches defend their players in all codes, but that was a big-time show of support from Justin Langer.
I think it had a show of support, which you would always expect from any particular coach defending his players, but he believed it as well.
Yeah.
And we've had a great debate on this show for the last couple of days about whether it overstepped the mark, Tim Payne, or it didn't. But I think that puts it in perspective as well a little bit, because we do get carried away with who we once were as the Australian cricket team, who we are now, and if we're creeping back into our old bad habits. But I was very strong and became probably even stronger after Tim Payne apologised, thinking, what for? Mm. Like, this is competitive, grown men playing cricket, high-stakes cricket, day five. Did he get desperate? Absolutely. It's day five of a test match that we should have won. Desperation's okay. And I still don't think to this moment right now, as we get ready to get into the fourth test, which is exciting that we get straight back into it, that he overstepped any line.
It's been a fascinating byproduct of what was a fascinating third test. Let's welcome in the best cricket writer in the country, Crash Craddock. Welcome back to SEN. Crash, good morning.
Nice to be on, lads. Yes, it's a fascinating topic, Jack, isn't it, Nick? It has divided people. It really has. I must admit, I thought Australia were really ordinary in the last day of the test in all facets. And I'm glad Payne apologised, because that was the old Australia, you know, just calling a guy a dickhead. And really, it was cheap and it was average. It wasn't so much the language per se, but it was just, it was, you know, he lost his rag. And I felt it set a very ordinary example. You know, I thought at the time when I heard it, and I haven't changed my mind at all.
Crash, let's just talk about the third test on field and just take out those few controversies just for a moment. You weren't impressed with day five. What areas were particularly for Australia that didn't impress you?
Oh, I just felt, like that specifically, I just felt Tim lost his rag. Mm. He's admitted it. And he's an immaculate cricketer. He's one of Australia's most immaculate players since Mark Waugh, you know, that sort of fastidious with everything he does. You know, even before a Shield game, you'll see him out there an hour training in the morning of a Shield game just to get his keeping just right. Dropped three catches and just lost his moral compass in the field. And people tend to, you know, it happens. And I think only two keepers in the history of the game have captained more tests than Tim Payne. That tells its own story, because it's very hard to burden the keeper with the captaincy. There's so much going on with them. I think he's done beautifully to hold it together for 23 tests, Tim Payne. But at some point, you reach a stage where the lid does pop off the saucepan, because you're running the team from behind and in front as well. You're the backroom custodian and the chief executive as well. It's very, very hard to do. I don't so much blame him, but I just felt, you know, it was very ordinary stuff.
Your article yesterday on that, I thought was really, really interesting. And the strain of captaincy is one thing. The strain of wicket-keeping is another. You put them together, Crash, and I suppose, did it escalate to a point where it was the wicket-keeping and the captaincy that, as you say, the lid popped off the bottle all in the one day?
Yeah, it did. And MS Dhoni, I think he was the guy at the Indian, he's the most capped keeper in terms of doing the two roles together. And he was just from another planet. He was so serene he could do it. But even guys like Adam Gilchrist, when he led Australia to victory against India in 2004, I'm telling you, he was really highly stressed and was within a bad day of breaking point. And he said it at the end. He said, oh, mate, you'll never know how close I was to snapping. And those stresses, Don Bradman said about a century ago, he said, all things being equal, the captain, you know, should be someone who's not burdened by the keeping duties. But Tim's defied that. He never asked for the captaincy. He was promoted out in a crisis in the middle of a test match and has done it beautifully. And I actually like his state of mind now. He said he was so agitated in the last test, he was pacing around the dressing room. This is huge stakes for him because this test match defines his career in some ways. Like, win this series and suddenly he's got Australia's house totally back in order. He's got the Border Gavaskar trophy back. Lose this series to India and suddenly, you know, you've lost two series on home soil, a rarity.
Crashers, we do look forward to this, the next test, the last test starting tomorrow. So many sub-stories within this overarching series. What do we do with the team? What do we do with some of the individuals? How do we turn this around? And what should have been a victory a week ago?
Yeah, it's interesting. I saw Will Pekoski do laps to the ground at the Gabba with a Sherin under his arm yesterday. Or he's there training in about an hour and a half. He will have to bat at that, I would say, to play. He's got a partial dislocation, Nick, of his shoulder, and we're still in a bit of pain. I don't love it, I have to say. You've got a field and everything like that. So Marcus Harris on standby. I thought I spotted Justin Langer putting a little bit of extra special attention into him in the middle unit yesterday. That to me was ominous because the coach's eye always goes to the guys most likely to play. So no decision yet on Pekoski, but it is a big decision to play him. And I sense there's a niggle or two amongst the bowlers, which they're keeping quiet. There's been a push. You know, people have talked about Mitchell Starc's position, but he does bowl well in Brisbane. It's a good ground for him. He likes, even bats well at the Gabba. So in a deciding test, to think about dropping a Mitchell Starc is a big decision, a really big decision, especially when you've got the comfort of an extra all-rounder, Cameron Green, bowling pace.
The other big decision was made last test, Crash, and that was to bring David Warner back into the team. To your eye and what you're hearing as well, how is he with that groin? He certainly looked restricted in the first innings.
Yeah. It's... And you'd be far more advanced than I am in this conversation, but I know in rugby league, when you've got a groin injury, they tend to think, have an extra week when you think you're right. Whereas Australia went the opposite way. They said, we'll play you probably a week ahead of schedule. Had they won in Melbourne, Warner was not going to play in Sydney. I know that. They were going to say, no, just rest, get it right. I don't think he's quite right. It does affect his mojo because he's a power athlete and a power runner. And that's, you know, that's part of his shtick, isn't it? You know, galloping through a ball to the fence. Like, he doesn't like being restricted. So, yeah, he looked rusty in Sydney, and it's a big test for him. He does like batting at the Gabba, and so does Steve Smith. And Australia hasn't lost here for 32 years. The sun's out. It's a lovely brown deck. It's one of the tannest-looking decks I've seen here at the Gabba. That smells runs to me, boys.
The last one that we need to speak about before we let you go, Crash, is the middle of the order. And Matty Wade has been the other name that's been mentioned for weeks now. I guess it sort of depends on the health of Warner and Pekoski a little bit. You probably don't want to make too many changes. But all being equal, does Wade hold his spot?
I think he does because I just think that, look, it's getting tight. The one thing he has to do, though, is break free of what we might call wicketkeeper scores. Like, he'll get 37, then 33. Mm. And then, of course, he was pretty average in the last test. But I think out of his last 8 or 9 innings, the top score is 40. That is not sustainable. Honestly, you see him bat in the nets, you wonder how Matthew Wade gets out in the game. He's a beautifully organised player, batsman. I love watching him in the nets. And Chris Rogers said to me once, he said, just do throwdowns to him. And you just think, man, this guy's just got it. But he's now a specialist batsman, and keeper's scores aren't good enough. Has to take it up a rung. Interesting with India, where we had Jasprit Bumrah ruled out of the tour a few days ago, but he did lob at training yesterday with his cardigan on, and India are understood to be just thinking about whether they'll play him or not. Wow, he's got an abdominal strain. I can't possibly think that you could play with that, but it was reported overnight that India haven't totally ruled him out, so there's the most interesting selection choice of their 11.
Watch this space. Crash, always great to catch up. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Zach and Nick. It's my absolute pleasure.
Crash Craddock, the best cricket writer in the country, joining us from Fox and News Corp. And don't forget the fourth test in Brisbane, live with no ads during play on Fox Cricket from 10 a.m. on Friday. Watch it on Foxtel, stream on KO.
Absolutely brilliant. We said the third test was riveting and enthralling and couldn't leave your couch for every single ball, particularly on that last day. that's going to be the feeling as play starts tomorrow.
It's always a good test, Brisbane. Mm. Yeah, early on, there's a bit happening with the ball. It can flatten out a bit. Yeah.
Crash just said 32 years since we've beaten there.
Yeah. I like drawn it. A couple along the way, but that's how long it's been since we've lost one at the Gabba. Premier League, 64 minutes in. Tottenham still clinging on to their 1-0 lead over Fulham. We'll keep you up to date with that for the remainder of the morning. Questions without notice next. 1300 736 736. If you've got one for us, and you can also find us on the text 0433 98 11 16.